Hare Krishna. When I was asked to give this class, it's always nice to have a class with a nice purport you can kind of dive into and extract lots of nice things from. But it's only a short purport. So my first attention was brought to the second verse with the purport. So I began to look into the the activity or the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, appearing like a firebrand, like a wheel, and dancing and jumping high, and at the same time he's roaring like thunder. Have you ever been in a kirtan where everyone's or anyone's roaring like thunder? Yeah? Tribhuvana. There's different kinds of kirtan, of course. Sometimes, not many times heard that people roar like thunder. Sometimes devotees scream. Sometimes they roar. Sometimes they chant very melodiously. Sometimes they bellow. There's different ways of... But the most important thing in kirtan is the heart. What's our attitude? Lord Chaitanya wasn't roaring for effect. He wasn't roaring to get some response. He was roaring out of this deep, inconceivable, his separation for the Lord. His chanting of Hare Krishna is on a level we can't comprehend. But amazingly, Krishna himself comes as Lord Chaitanya. So here's the Supreme Lord coming as his devotee and teaching us how to approach the Lord. Not by imitating, though. I mean, chanting the holy name, especially without a microphone. Many years ago, early days, we'd be on the street and chanting kirtan, and no microphone. And your voice would break. And you kept chanting, and you heal, then it breaks again. And over a period of a year or two, you got a strong voice. But if you just chant, if we're relying on a microphone and don't learn to chant from the heart, yes, you've got to chant from the heart. It's not a, of course, any kind of chanting is beneficial, but chanting from the heart, and chanting purifies the heart. But there's a technique for chanting. We can speak from the throat, can't we? I'm speaking from the throat now. It's coming from here. But if I speak from my chest, it's much louder. Don't mean to disturb anyone. Same with kirtan, chanting. We can chant with the whole chest as a voice box. Ha, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ha, or huh. What's it to be? There's ways to practice, actors and singers. They pay a fortune. Processes for projecting the voice, especially actors. Traditionally, actors don't have a tape which they mime to. It's the voice. And you've got a big theatre. And the people at the back have got to hear the actor. And he can't shout, to be or not to be. No, it's an introspective to be or not to be. But the people at the back have to hear that. So the same with chanting. There's ways to chant that we can amplify the voice, but it's not for effect. It's to, the whole point of kirtan is to share our, what? What are we sharing when we do kirtan? Any?
Love,
okay. What else? Our consciousness, yeah. Sharing, remembering Krishna. Who said that? Any?
Krishna.
Sharing Krishna. Hmm?
Sharing joy.
Sharing joy, yeah.
Sharing the holy name.
Sharing the holy name, yeah.
Mercy.
Yeah, they're all true. Sharing our desire to be with him. So all these things, all these points require, there's one central word which actually covers them all. Any idea what that might be? Prayer. We're sharing our prayer. And the prayer includes all of that. And prayer is an attitude. It's an attitude. It's an obeisance. It's an obeisance. It's not like we because sometimes people come, as Prabhupada says, and we see, people come in the temple and come with a shopping list. And often there's no obeisances. There's a pranams. No? Here's my... No. But obeisance? No. Obeisance is the very basis. Obeisance is the basis of our spiritual progress. Of our spiritual life. Without that submission, without that humility and submission, we won't make any progress. We can chant Hare Krishna, and yes, it's purifying. But the basis of obeisance is humility, recognizing my either dependence or recognizing my need for your acceptance of me. And if you... I don't know if any of you got the Veda base. I'm sure some of you had the Veda base on your laptops or computers. Look up the word base. Look up the word obeisances. Obeisance. Do a word search. There's probably thousands. The whole basis of any interaction between the devotees between themselves, between the disciple and the spiritual master, and especially when it comes to the interactions with Lord Krishna. Everyone's offering obeisances. And we say, offer obeisances. Yeah, it's a little catchword, you know, obeisances. But we don't really look into what it means. Of course, if we're practicing it, that the meaning will become, it will become manifest. Everything, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is based upon grace. It's a process of grace. We say, His divine grace. So there's two graces there, two graces present. The divine grace of Krishna comes in the person who, by his grace, allows us to serve the parampara. That's the grace. The grace is an opportunity to serve the parampara, which is the direct line to Krishna. It's not even a grace is to serve Krishna directly, because we can't serve Krishna directly. We can't. We don't have the currency. We don't have love. We talk about love, but love is not a. It's there's so many pop songs about love. You know, love, 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 love. But manifesting love, as it's been said before, love is 90% duty, and 10% feeling. 90% duty, 10% feeling. So Lord Chaitanya is roaring. He's roaring like thunder. Is an expression of his deep, ecstatic love for the Lord. Jumping high. What's the highest anyone here has ever jumped in Kirtan? Has anyone ever touched the... not suggesting you hang and swing from the chandeliers, but has anyone ever reached the chandelier in there? No. I haven't seen it. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, if that fell on your head, you'd be... Well, chant Hare Krishna, mate. Go back to Gobad head. But, yeah, jumping up and down. A very memorable time was when Srila Prabhupada was dancing in on the Rathyatra in London in 1974. I was there. I can't remember the date. And Prabhupada didn't sit on his palanquins on the Rathyatra. His Vyasa-san was fixed to the base of the Rathiatra cart, one cart. For some reason, he didn't sit on his Vyasasan. Instead, he chose to dance all the way from Speaker's Corner all the way to Trafalgar Square. Not just walking, but dancing. And Prabhupada would stop and look round as the chariot came, as the Rathiatra chariot came. And he was jumping up and down, jumping up and down. Jumping and jumping and jumping. And in it, devotees were amazed. We were absolutely astounded. So devotees formed a circle around him to prevent everyone coming in and crowding. And Jadid Prabhupada was dancing, and then he stopped and he offered prayers, like, yes, assuming nothing we could hear. And then he'd start dancing and chanting again. Dancing, dancing, up and down. But Prabhupada wasn't moving like a firebrand. He wasn't moving because how old was Prabhupada? 70? No, it was 70, what, 76? You can work it out, 70, probably 78. And of course, for Prabhupada, in one sense, Prabhupada moved around the whole world like a firebrand. It's not as if it's limited to just dancing in a circle. Prabhupada was dancing in a circle around the whole planet. 13, 14 times Prabhupada circumambulated like a firebrand, setting fire to everything, setting fire to the whole material civilization. You know, you start a forest fire, you just like, you don't have to, a little fire here, you know, and a little one down the road, and this will create a whole conflagration. There's even some talk that some of the fires that take place around the world in recent years are the result of arson, people setting fire to forests or houses or this or that. And sometimes, of course, it's totally, fires start by accident. And very devastating. So Prabhupada was traveling around the whole world, lighting the fire, this little spark, lighting the fire of the desire for something beyond matter, looking, Prabhupada giving the spark of Krishna consciousness, and sowing the seeds we're using the analogy of fire, and of course the whole material world is compared to a blazing fire, samsara. The blazing fire of material existence. And then sometimes in this grey, cold, wet weather of England, we think, well, it's not so much a blazing. We could do with a bit of blazing fire, warm up a little bit. But of course, if you live in Los Angeles, that's another story altogether. But the blazing fire of material existence, birth, all those disease and death. But that fire can be extinguished by lighting the fire of devotional service in the heart, which burns away all the sinful reactions. All the sinful reactions are burnt like fire. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Obeisances, everyone, please. When the curtains open, and when the curtains close, and when we come in the temple or leave the temple, we should remember that this is the throne room, the reception hall of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. So offering obeisances is very appropriate. More than appropriate, it's necessary. Otherwise, one of the offences is not offering obeisances to the deity when one goes in the temple. It's an offence not to offer. I mean, the fact that anyone comes and to see the deity is wonderful, but to progress on in spiritual life, we need to avoid the mentality and activities which are suppressing our natural loving mood. So offering obeisances to Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Mahan, Sri Sri Gonitai, the temple deity. And even more pleasing to Krishna is offering obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. But as we said before, our offering obeisances isn't limited to the temple. When you're offered a plate of prasadam, ask yourself, do you offer obeisances to your plate of prasadam? And when you've finished your prasadam, do you offer your obeisances in gratitude? Question. That way, if we appreciate the prasadam, not just because it tastes so good, most of the time, depends. That's another story, another issue. But yes, offer obeisances to prasadam. And also kirtan. After kirtan, offer obeisances, especially in the temple room. You're not going to get your head dirty offering obeisances. That's why we have the pranam prayers. The pranam prayers, it's obeisances. It's recognition of our dependence on the mercy of the Lord and his pure representatives. It's recognition. And recognition comes from humility. Humility. If I'm proud, I don't recognize. Wasn't that a good kirtan? Isn't this a good class? Eh? Oh, yeah. Aren't I a good cook? Aren't I a smart dresser? Whatever. It goes on and on. No end to our sense of false prestige because we're not humble. So humility is a key to offering obeisances. And one devotee, Hari Balas, he was an Armenian devotee. He was in France, in Paris for a long time. He's helped there right at the beginning of the temple in Paris. And he started the spiritual sky incense over in Paris. And he once asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, what is humility? What is humility? So before I give a summary of Prabhupada's response, I'm going to ask you, what is humility? Don't be shy. To ignore our constitutional. To? Ignore our constitutional position? No. Oh, sorry. Okay. To know, yes. To know our constitutional position. Okay. Can you say it briefly?
Humility is not thinking low of ourselves, less of ourselves. It's thinking less of ourselves, more of them. So basically the self-centered idea. Not to have that as humility, rather than having a low self-esteem.
Ah, interesting. Not low self-esteem. But to think of oneself as?
Less often.
Less often. Okay. Interesting. Not to debase or put oneself down. Anything else?
To keep going in our service regardless of any obstacles.
Very, yes. To keep going regardless in our service. Yes. Never stop. Very good. Yes. To not be anxious to be honoured by others. Is that right? I'm a bit deaf. I'm so is that right? Yeah. Yes.
Bow down
In front of others from the heart. Yes. To feel oneself servant of the servant of the servant. And they're all spot on. Another one?
A sense of pride.
A sense of pridelessness. Okay. Yes.
Selflessness.
Huh?
Selflessness. And be persistent. Don't give up. But finally give up.
Don't give up. Keep going with one service, as you said.
Yeah.
Yes, sincerity.
But how is one's truthfulness?
Truthfulness.
That's
another quality, honesty. Yes. Prayojan.
Back to the books, says that think of the person you love most and think that of others. In other words, that they're me, I'm them, that we should love each other. What does it say? Love thy
as thyself. Mm-hmm.
In that way.
Mm.
That's a, you have a take offense as well as don't take offense when it's given to you in that situation.
Don't take offense when offense is a good excuse for it.
Yeah, mm. There's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be. It's a lesson.
Yes. Accept what happens as a lesson, as our learning curve, yes. And the lesson is to know what the appropriate response is. Because depending on our duty, sometimes it's our duty to forgive. And if we're acting to protect others, it's our duty to be like a firebrand sometimes. The parent doesn't say, if the child is being... and in danger, the parent, oh, it's okay, it's forgive. No, a fire, but protect him. So it's knowing what's appropriate as well.
Can I have a go?
A go, you want to go? Don't go, let's hear what you have to say. That's very nice. The willingness to lay down this life for the cause of giving others the opportunity for
salvation.
Love of God. Keep going.
Back to yoga.
Keep going.
Eternal life.
Yeah, go on. It's personalism. It's personal, remember. Personalism.
Sorry?
It's personalism. You, yes, not love of God isn't impersonal, but there's something a little bit more, which is the key, which we're talking about. Yes, it's a process. That's the process. So who do we offer obeisance to? Huh? Well, you're saying it's a whole process. I'm not trying to highlight something you said wrong. What you say is very nice, to give up one's life. To give others the opportunity for salvation. Yeah. Well, yes, and Prabhupada did that. And as we understand in Gaudiya Vaishnava, isn't the real salvation is to learn, is the process of devotional service. Because one may get salvation. One may go to enter into the Brahman effulgence and realize I'm eternal. One has a salvation. But it doesn't last. Salvation doesn't last. In terms of Brahman realization, one has to awaken one's eternal relationship with the Lord and act in that propensity, which is loving devotion. In Brahman, there's no loving devotion. There's nothing to be devoted to. So the core, the key to the salvation, that was the kind of answer I'm kind of was digging for, is to follow in the footsteps of someone who did just that. You know, the Prabhupada sacrificed his life to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The Acharyas sacrifice everything in the service of Krishna. And to do that, they engage the material energy in the service of the Lord and engage the jiva souls in the service of the parampara. That's the special gift, that's the grace that Prabhupada brings, is the opportunity to serve the mission of the parampara, which is Lord Chaitanya's mission, which is Krishna's mission. So Haribalas asked Prabhupada that question, what is humility? And would you like to hear what Prabhupada's answer was? I really should have written it down. And I've got it. Well, maybe I've got it on my phone. I do make a note of these sometimes. It's nice to do it word perfect. Let's see if I've got it here. Most of us have got phones. If you go in the entry, you know, there's one section that says notes. So in the notes section, it's not a number. You've got to put a number in, otherwise you won't find it. But any random number. But in the notes section, you can copy and paste things from, you know, various from devotees' quotes and Prabhupada's books and put it in a little category. So you can have all sorts of things on hand. And having said that, I hope I can find what I'm looking for. Honesty. I bet I can't find it after all of that. Prabhupada says here, 100% cheating, beginning from the top. They have lost their own culture. Prabhupada's talking about the corruption and lack of honesty in a particular place. I'm not going to go into details there. But that's a symptom of the Kali Yuga. I can't believe I don't have it, Prabhupada. Honesty. Okay, well, summarize, Prabhupada said. What's that? What have you got?
I think I heard it.
Who's okay, go on, let's hear what do you say?
Humility means that you are convinced beyond any doubt that there is nothing in this world, absolutely nothing in this world. Not your money, not your family, not your fame, not your gun, not your education. Nothing that will save you except the mercy of Krishna. When you are convinced like this, then you are humble.
That's what I was looking for, yeah. Did we have this microphone, this mysterious vanishing microphone? Is it around? Can you just read that again? Read it slowly, nice and slowly. We can all hear.
Humility means that you are convinced beyond any doubt that there is nothing in this world, absolutely nothing in this world. Not your money, not your family, not your fame, not your gun, not your education. Nothing that will save you except the mercy of Krishna. When you are convinced like this, then you are humble.
So there we have it. It's to realize there's no shelter here in this world. And only Krishna can actually give you that shelter. And only Krishna is representative. As just we had the appearance of Lord Nityananda just recently. And it said that Lord Nityananda's lotus feet are like a million moons, soothing. They give shelter. By taking shelter of Nityananda and his instructions, of course. So, Bhairaja, you going to say something?
Yeah, quoting now from Krishna Namastakam, Sri Krishna Namastakam. And a wonderful prayer there, praying to the Holy Name. It says, O dear Holy Name, O beloved form of Krishna in sound, out of your causeless mercy, the devotees take shelter of your lotus feet. Through constantly chanting, you are even saved from destruction due to offences against the Holy Name. You are manifest as the Supreme Personal Form of concentrated transcendental ecstasy. You are, you are personally the form of transcendental happiness and a daily festival for the residents of Gokul, Vrindavan Dham. You are full of transcendental glory, eternal bliss, of which you are manifest through nectarian loving exchanges with your devotees. Therefore, my dear holy name of Krishna, I offer again and again my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet.
Nam Prabhu Ki Jai. So, yes, obeisances all round. That humility is the key. And looking into, you know, this topic of obeisances, I would hazard to suggest that Srila Prabhupada's success was because of his heartfelt obeisances. We use the word obeisances, and we can sometimes think it's a ceremonial thing. It's like a ritual. It needs to be more than that. Like chanting Hare Krishna, it can be just a ritual. Some people see chanting Hare Krishna as just a ritual, but that's just the label on the jar. You know, there's far, far deeper and far more than that. Question, Bhu?
Yeah, I've got a comment on obeisances.
A comment?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He speaks on humility. Mm. He says, one should offering obeisances, respect to non-devotees is going against the line of the acharyas. We should be like Hanuman and serve Krishna in the way that Krishna wants us to serve him. So this is like a so to non-devotees we can give respect, but we shouldn't give our hearts, in other words. So obeisances should be actually for Krishna and the Vaishnavas.
Yes. We should be careful where we put offer our obeisances. But it's important what you said about respect. One shouldn't disrespect others. One shouldn't disrespect. Karma. There may be qualities which we have no time for. Qualities. You know, greed. Of course, one can be transcendentally greedy. I mean, all the qualities which are, you know, lust, anger, greed, they're all perverted reflections of the reality of greed, the reality of lust, the reality of anger. They have a transcendental, the original core is actually spiritual. But that's interesting what you say, because when I was doing a little research on this, I was looking at Prabhupada's purport to the first, he's giving class on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is summarized in as Krishna book. Let me just... What time is the class meant to finish? Oh, 9, okay. I've not run out of time yet. And you're all still here, so we'll just... Prabhupada, in his introduction to Krishna book, begins with... obeisances. Prabhupada's introduction to Bhagavad Gita begins with obeisances. Yes, here, Prabhupada's Krishna book, introduction. Prabhupada says, while attempting to write this book, Krishna, let me first offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, Om Vishnupad, 108 Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada. Then let me offer my respectful obeisances to the ocean of mercy, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, appearing in the role of a devotee, just to distribute the highest principles of devotional service. Interesting how the reason why Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, the reason he took sannyas, of course there's many different reasons, but the immediate apparent reason was so that he would be, as a sannyasi, he would receive respect from the students and from the general society, because sannyas was deeply respected. So he took sannyas in order that others would offer in obeisances. Everyone would offer obeisance to a sannyas. When the first sannyasi who we had here in UK was when we had the temple in Berry Place before the manor. His name was Ribatnandan Swami, and the word went, he hadn't arrived yet. Oh well, you know, when a sannyas comes, you see a sannyas, you've got to offer obeisances, you know, and if you don't offer obeisances, you've got to fast for the day. So everyone was very careful to offer obeisances, you know, and every time we'd see him, the devotees would be offering obeisances. You know, on the stairs, in the shower, you know, halfway down, you know, whatever, obeisances. It must have been testing. If someone's offering you obeisances all the time, there's no room for pride. You have to have humility. It's a test. Others offering obeisances to you. How proud are you? Are you humble? Because it's not... The idea is they're offering obeisances to the status, the social position of sannyas. And of course, in this case of Mahabhagavats, we can offer directly obeisance to them, regardless of their status. Regardless of status. In when Maharaj Rahugana is speaking with Jad Bharat, who he insulted, not knowing him to be a great saint. Having come to his senses, when Jad Bharat admonished him and gave him some spiritual, offered him some spiritual insights, Maharaj Rahugana said, where are my glasses here? Are they on my head? Or are they on the floor? Thank you. No, my glasses. I'm not going to see my... Looking for my glasses. Are you also there? No. I kind of manage with that. I'll squint a bit. Yeah. Maharaj Rahugana says... No, these are not my reading glasses. Yeah. Thanks. Oh, yes, thank you. No. You got bad eyesight, am I? But thanks anyway. Anyone want to lend me their eyeballs? What's that? Okay, not too heavy. Yeah, let's just try that. Yeah, we get there, yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much. This is what you call a cooperative Bhagavatam class. A lot of reciprocation going on, a lot of different levels. Thank you, one and all. Yes, Maharaj Rahugana says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, whether they walk on the earth's surface as children, young boys, avadutas, or great Brahmins. Even if they are hidden under different guises, I offer my respects to all of them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them. He's making apologies on behalf of the royal order, who generally see, not in all cases, but many times see mendicants and renounced persons as being a burden. Well, you know, what are they doing? You know, just begging all the time. And of course, in the case of Maharaj Rahugana, he was offensive to Jad Bharat, not knowing him to be the great sage that he was. Interesting, isn't it? I'll just read it again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, wherever they walk on the earth's surface, as children, young boys, avadutas, or great Brahmins. Even if they are hidden under different guises, I offer my respects to all of them. in their, by their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in all political spheres, amongst all the leaders of the earth who need the mercy of the great devotees. We can add that. The royal dynasties means the administrators, the admin who look after the social administration. It used to be kings, now it's goodness knows who. But we pray for their enlightenment and sane administrative policies. A very significant prayer. Very significant prayer. Was written by Srila Prabhupada himself when he first came to the West, when he was on the Jaladuta ship. Both, there's two prayers. When he's actually on the ship, and then when he lands, when he in the harbour itself. So I'll read some of these prayers that Prabhupada offered, because obeisances and recognition of dependence on the mercy of Guru is essential to these prayers. I won't say the Bengali. I'll just go straight to the English translation. Prabhupada says, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain great good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion of Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, he's speaking of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the holy name of Krishna, of Lord Gauranga, will spread throughout the whole. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world, in all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams. Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. Now, interesting, Prabhupada says, by his strong desire. Prabhupada never took credit. He said, if I have had any success, it is because I have followed the instructions of my Guru Maharaj without change. Doesn't take credit. That's humility. Look what Prabhupada did. And he never took humility. Never took credit. Just let me finish. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy. For you are the wisest and most experienced of all. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains this absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. If that service is obtained, then one becomes happy and gets your association, he's speaking to Krishna, due to good fortune. I'll come to you in a minute. And very significant, at the end of, that's the prayer that Prabhupada wrote in Bengali when he was on the Jaladuta. And when the ship docked in the harbour, it's a wonderful prayer. You should read this. We should actually read it on a regular basis. We're tying in the whole topic of obeisances, but we've also had mention of dancing. So Prabhupada also brings in this Anyway, I'll read it to you. Prabhupada says, addressing his spiritual master, O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your... speaking to Krishna. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So, if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Please make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. So he's not, Prabhupada isn't thinking, I'm going to give them the source. I'm going to come and use my erudition and my, you know, translations and my books. I'm going to do something wonderful. No. Again, he's in all humility, he's recognizing he needs the Lord's blessings. So this is the verse which is very important. Next verse but one. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So, if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, in Boston, 18th of September, 1965. So Prabhupada's praying, please make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. So Prayojana, you have some nectar to share.
It's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Who is it from? Use the microphone.
The Bhagavat, its philosophy, ethics, and theology, a lecture given in Dinapur in 1869.
Is this the whole lecture or a little snippet?
Yeah, well, it is, but I'm going to quote you the final, because it's a prediction. He says, the Bhagavat, therefore, allows us to call Vyas and Narada as Shaktivesh avatars of the infinite energy of God. And the spirit of the text goes far to honor all great reformers and teachers who have lived and will live in other countries. The Vaishnav is ready to honor all great men without distinction of caste because they are filled with the energy of God. See how universal this religion is, the Bhagavat. It is not intended for a certain class of Hindus, but a gift to man at large, whatever country they are born, and whatever society they're bred. In short, Vaishnavism is the absolute love binding all men together into the infinite, unconditional, absolute God. May its peace reign forever in the whole universe, in the continual development of its purity by the exertion of the future heroes who will be blessed according to the promise of the Bhagavat with a power from the Almighty Father, Creator, Preserver, and Annihilator of all things in heaven and earth. And so he's talking about the future heroes, which we obviously have in Prabhupada. He's the one that spread it all over the world.
Yes, Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's servants. Prabhupada couldn't have accomplished what he did without the cooperation of so many devotees who came, who are coming, and who will come. Yeah. We glorify Prabhupada because without him, nothing would have happened. At the same time, we offer our obeisances and respects to the followers of Prabhupada.
So that was in 1869.
Yes. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was trying to break this, the casteism and very narrow perspective that Vaishnavism was for Hindus, was for India alone. And he sowed the seeds for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's success in the first, the very first institution which was propagating Vaishnavism. Prior to then, the Vaishnavas would be individual sannyasis. There was no institution. And Prabhupada took that that dynamic and brought it to the whole world. So it's building on the foundation. And obeisances are the foundation of our spiritual success. Our, as we said, the prayers we sing every morning, samsara prayers, I offer my respectful obeisances unto such a spiritual master, all the eight prayers that we sing in the morning. And the pranamas at the end of a kirtan, Jai Om Vishnupad. These are reminding us of what our foundation is. And you, in order to have a building, you have a foundation. But having built the building, you don't think, well, we don't need the foundations anymore, do we? Because we've got the building. No, it doesn't work like that. The foundations have to be permanently there. And sometimes re-emphasized, sometimes reinforced. You can't build without foundations. Impossible. So our foundations are the grace of the Acharya. And it's accepting that grace and serving the Parampara. That's the foundation. And then the qualities which develop, which we need to consciously develop. Not that they just happen, but yeah, develop the qualities, humility, honesty. And our spiritual life will be guaranteed. The more honest, the more humble, the more we are able to hear Super Soul in the heart. It's an internal process. Institution, as founded by Bhaktisiddhanta, by Srila Prabhupada, is there to facilitate. It's a facilitating process for us to have the association and develop the qualities which allow us to access, to hear the Super Soul. Prabhupada says, Super Soul is constantly speaking, but we don't hear. We hear the mind. But with the still mind, when we're humble and when we're honest, when we're learning how to chant Krishna's holy name, overcoming the offenses bit by bit, we will become more aware of Super Soul. And may our kirtans and dancing be ever enlivened by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. 5 minutes before closing time. Any questions, comments? Prabhupada talks about obeisances. I was going to say in the introduction to Srimad, in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmajasirto, Prabhupada's giving a class in London about that. And he says, he's saying that in material life, everyone's offering obeisances, but they're offering obeisances to the material energy. They're offering obeisances to the material energy. So everyone's offering obeisances. Everyone's offering, they're wanting something. Generally, the obeisances are materially motivated in the material world. And it's interesting that at that particular time, I'll just read what Prabhupada says at the beginning of that lecture. He says, so, Vyasadeva is offering obeisances to Satyam Param, the absolute, supreme absolute truth, not to relative truth. Everyone has to offer obeisances to somebody. Somebody. In our practical life, at least, we have to offer obeisances to the policeman. When you go on the street, as soon as they say, stop, you have to obey. How can you avoid obeying? They are saying, we don't believe in God. God is dead. I am God. But while you are offering obeisances, even to the small constable, that means you have to offer your obeisances to somebody. That is your position. So, of course, Prabhupada is using the word obeisances in a slightly broader sense. One has to obey obey, obeisance. It's the same linked word there, obey. We have to obey some authority. We've got to obey the government, we've got to obey the police, have to obey this, that, the other. So obeying is there. But later in the class, Prabhupada, he's saying, but who will come and offer obeisances to the Lord here in the temple, very place temple? And those of you who've, anyone here been to the very place temple? I know some of you have. Anyone been? Yeah? No?
Long ago.
You've probably been in into the temple, was it? When it was open?
No. Yeah.
No, okay. Okay, all right. Yeah, it's all right. You can go to see in Berry Place, look it up on your Google Maps, and go and see. Just respects this. It's his holy place. It's a holy place. Prabhupada had so many pastimes there. Installed the deities, so Prabhupada lived there. Offer your obeisances. You can, and if you sign up with a dentist, you can go and actually sit where the altar used to be. The dentist's chair is right where the altar used to be, so you can get your teeth fixed right at the lotus feet. So the reason I mention that is that round the corner from Berry Place is the British Museum. And when Prabhupada gave this lecture, there was a big exhibition on in at the British Museum. They'd brought the mummy. This is an Egyptian mummy, by the way, of Tutankhamun. And Prabhupada sometimes Prabhupada would kind of joke in his classes, at the same time use it to make a point. And he says, they won't come and come Sri Sri Radhakrishna, but they'll queue up for hours to have darshan of a dead body, which is the Pharaoh's dead body, wrapped up in gold and jewels. You can draw another analogy from that. Prabhupada gives the example of what's the point of decorating a dead body? You put in that fine clothes and jewels and pearls and beautiful, you know. Ooh. But it's a dead body. What the hell are you doing? Some cultures, yes, they honor the dead by giving them what they say grave goods. It doesn't mean serious goods. It means goods for the grave. They go pearls and they do find these bodies which have been buried thousands of years ago with things that they honor the person, the departed person. But in our culture, we're it's much simpler. For a truly opulent departure, my mother passed away recently, and I was very fortunate. The devotee looks after Tulsi Devi. Lalapati, yeah, of course. She gave facility for a nice Tulsi garland. Big Tulsi, fresh Tulsi garland from the deities. And I was able to put that around my mother in her coffin, along with Tulsi wood and some Mahaprasadam, a couple of Prabhupada's books, and some transcendental paraphernalia. So this is a real grave offering. This is an ecstatic offering. If you can do that for your loved ones and family members, there, it's said that anyone who, if there's Tulsi wood included in cremation burial, it cleanses all the sin to that person and they go back to Godhead. Certainly all their sins are cleansed. So I don't think Tutankhamun got any Tulsi in his coffin. He was covered in gold, but what's the point of that? No. Better to offer some Tulsi beads, Tulsi wood, whatever. Garland. Yeah, Prabhupada book. A bit of Mahaprasadam. That's the best blessing that one can offer. Because it's a slight distraction from the actual topic on the class. So, are there any questions? Yes, Pooh. Someone down here. Yeah. Microphone, please. Do we have a microphone? Yeah.
Thank you for the very nice class, Pooh. So you mentioned that the more honest we are with ourselves, the more we can tune into the super soul. But sometimes I feel like there's, and I've heard before from people giving class, that there are things that we don't know that we don't know. So, like, how do we know what we're holding on to? How can we identify what we're holding on to?
How do I know what I don't know? How do we know what we're holding on to? Krishna's going to show you. You don't have to worry about that. It's not an intellectual process. As you chant, to begin with, when we start chanting, Krishna gives us some free samples. We get some free samples, and then you've got to work for it. And then as we work for it, then the cleansing process, it begins to show us our attachments. It might be circumstances which show us our attachments. It might be a recognition in our heart that this, what our attachments are. But Krishna will certainly, you know, take up the chanting of Krishna's holy name, and he'll give you full facility in every way. For that personal purification. Yes, it's learning to know what is super soul and what is the mind, you could say. I'm still working on it, by the way. So it's a gradual process. But if we can learn to appreciate and love Srila Prabhupada, no matter who your guru is, appreciate and love, then his books become alive, and we can actually appreciate what it is Prabhupada's giving us. It isn't a cerebral mental process. In bhakti, it's the process of loving service. Loving service. Not love, but loving service. And then the love comes. It's there. But it has to be through service, loving service. So the more we can do that, and the more we appreciate and love Prabhupada, the philosophy comes alive and becomes a reality. Super soul becomes a reality. Did someone over here?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, sorry. Can we have just a second? We got Mr. Microphone here. Yeah, but the audience does, out there.
Krishna, I'm just thinking about giving obeisances to our seniors and Vaishnavas. I notice that we do not do it for our Keshav Swami Maharaj like we do when other Swamis come around. And because he makes himself so available, I think people become so familiar, they don't take notice. And I think it's sad, really, that we don't, you know, bow down when some people, very few do.
Yes, that old adage, isn't it? Familiarity breeds contempt. It doesn't mean contempt necessarily in this case, but familiarity.
No, it doesn't mean that.
It's one can become ignore or overlook the importance of it's an etiquette. It's an etiquette. And even if one time there's some devotee was questioned why he was offering obeisances to someone in the sannyasa order who was very fallen, and it was known. So why are you offering obeisances? He said, I'm offering obeisances to the order of sannyas. Not necessarily the person, but the order of sannyas. So the roles that we play, the roles in society, devotee society as well as mainstream, this is like the yardstick with certain behaviors expected of different roles in society. So yeah, to offer obeisances to the sannyas order is important. Yeah, humility. Yeah. Anything else?
It boils down to respect, isn't it? And also, you know, following what the regulations are. You know, you don't exclude one and anything. It's inclusion, isn't it? And making sure everybody practices the same.
It can't be forced. Prabhupada says in a few places, it can't be forced. But we can cultivate that in ourselves. We can nurture humility. Nurture humility, which means recognizing our dependence upon the stability of a devotee social order, and also, I'm forgetting what I was going to say now. Yeah, you get older, and the brain cells start to go when you get a bus pass. No. Sorry.
It's okay, Prabhu. Thank you very
Hare
much.
Hare Krishna. What a note to end on, eh? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Shri Guru Parampara ki jai. Hare Krishna.